Welcome to Coffee with the Sarlows. We are your hosts of the show, Karen and Kelly Sarlo. Whether you're struggling with grief or you just need answers, we connect you with spirit to find relief, clarity, and direction in life. We can help you move forward.
Hi, Kelly.
Oh my God, hello. If you are only listening, you are missing out already.
Go to YouTube. Even if it's only for a quick minute to see what it looks like on our couch right now as we're doing this podcast this morning, because
Karen has an ass in her face.
I do.
With a nice long tail. We got two dogs on the couch.
Winston is determined to be part of this podcast.
Yeah.
As is Parker this morning.
Good. We're in good company.
We are. And that's a good thing. This is a little bit of a rough show today.
Okay.
The spirit guide's guest is the client. I'm going to call her Chloe.
Okay.
And I'm just going to remind people, in case you're here listening for the very first time, that that is confidential, that that's a made up name for that client. Mm-hmm. So Chloe and I can see each other. And we're over Zoom together. And at the very beginning of her session, she says to me, I'm blocked. And she says, I was just told that I'm just to call you and ask you to tell me why I'm blocked. And that I'm just to listen and you're going to say some things to me and I'm supposed to be open to trying to place how whatever it is that you're going to say to me from the spirit guides could help me understand like what's blocking me. And she goes, I really think this is going to be interesting because like I've got to work as I'm sitting here doing this. I get it. I can't just sit here. So I'm going to record and I'm going to write some notes. So go ahead, Karen. I'm blocked in so many areas of my life. She says, so good freaking luck.
That's really funny. I just don't think that people are blocked in life. I think the only way that we are blocked is in our bowels. And that's a different conversation that I also love to have. But like,
because you found bran butts.
For sure. But I just mean like what people refer to as blocks is typically not a thing that is sitting in our way. Normally it's something that we are holding on to. Whether it's holding on to a belief, holding on to a relationship that is in our way, but we are doing the holding on, if that makes sense.
It does.
So I'm curious to see how this is going to play out.
Okay.
And I love that I can only half see you right now.
Because you can see more of Winston.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. And all right. So I told her that would be totally fine. And I was just going to download the file. And just meaning whatever the guides are going to give me using all of the senses that I'm able to use. And then I would start giving her the information. So I did. I waited a little bit. And then the guide said to me, we want you to begin by talking about her relationship with her partner. And this is a long-term partner. And this is going to go back to, and I see Oprah standing there. And I'm like, huh?
And on-air Oprah days?
Yeah. Yeah. And they show in particular a show she had, and I cannot recall the woman's name, but I'm positive that if anybody listening to our show has listened to Oprah or watched it for decades, they're very familiar. But you don't have to have watched Oprah to be familiar with what happened to this woman. It has to do with gratitude. So the book, I think, was like a gratitude journal. And I think her name, the author's name way back then was Sarah somebody. Anyway, so I see that. And I'm thinking, okay, what's it got to do with this book? And they said everything. And it has to do with this whole movement. And I'm not blaming this author. She's just, the guides are just showing me.
It was a time.
Yeah. And they're showing this type of book. And they show book after book after book on one topic, and it's gratitude. It's just simply all of these gratitude books and gratitude journals. And the guides explained to me that at this particular period of time when this woman was doing this show and the Oprah show and everything was about being grateful and this, I'll just say grateful like a million times during this podcast today. It's going to become nauseating, I'm sure. How this woman goes out and her partner catches on to, oh, she's into being grateful for things. And he sees this as something that is very convenient and very helpful to his purpose in the relationship to gain control. So he buys her gratitude books so that she can read them. And then when things move to books on tape, he buys and gets her the books on whatever you call it, like Audible, like that type of platform. He buys her tons of journals at bookstores. He like gives her gift sets of gratitude journals, all kinds of things, blank ones, lined ones, and then books that prompt you to what to be grateful for. So how the gratitude journals then become name this that you can be grateful for today, name all of these different things that you can be grateful for. And every page upon page just goes into how we can really focus the mind on gratitude in every kind of situation. And the guides say that he buys her all of these books, and whether they're like a workbook, pardon me, that's the word I was looking for, workbooks that are directed in how you could become a more grateful person. And this becomes like a major focus. And then there's pens and there's sparklers and there's sticker tape and there's everything that you can do that could be put into these books, and that he will support her focus on gratitude to any degree that she wants, and that he's using this to his advantage. And I really want to go into that because she didn't, she just couldn't understand how this was a block and how this was part of anything. And she says, well, wait a minute. You know, and so she's getting into, she starts to get into this discussion with me and says, well, yes, like I do all those things. I have like a whole bookshelf of gratitude journals. I've kept them for the last 2 to 3 decades. I go back and I reread them to remind myself about what I should be grateful for.
Ooh, I'm caffeinated enough for this podcast. And I saw Barbie last night, so I'm ready to go.
Yeah, I figured that. Right before this started, you said, am I going to enjoy this show this morning, this recording? And I said, yes, bring your anger.
Okay, please note the requirement for me to enjoy it is to get angry.
Yes, exactly.
Because as an Enneagram 1, this is appropriate anger,
exactly.
As far as I'm concerned. Therefore, it actually excites me to be able to express it. So continue.
Yeah. So then she and I get into this discussion and she says to me, I don't understand at all how gratitude could be something that's creating a block for me.
It keeps you fucking quiet.
Yes. And so the spirit guides then went through the entire hour with her, identifying particular moments in the relationship where he would do something very common, just a regular thing a person should do for another person that's just decent, just commonplace. And then he would do something that was abusive. And he did that on purpose. So he would do something commonplace and normal that, you know, as I said, should just be a regular thing you do for another person that's decent, followed by some form of being mean to her or unkind. Let's just even say unkind.
Which is a pattern of toxicity.
Yes.
Because if someone's just straight up mean to you all the time, cool, they're just a mean person. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it, right?
Yeah.
When you have a pattern of, I will treat you decent or okay, or well, and then I will pepper it with what, you know, off and on forms of verbal abuse or forms of abuse,
mm-hmm.
and then go back to being decent or even good to you.
Mm-hmm.
It is the uncertainty that you create where the person never really knows which they're going to get and keeps them wondering, should I stay? Should I go back? Will things be okay? Will it get better? That is toxic.
And that's the block. That's, you're talking about the block they're trying to show her.
Right. But I want to point out mm-hmm. that it's not that the person is creating a block for you.
Right.
Right. It is where you are holding on by conditioning. So I'm not pointing fingers and saying fault,
mm-hmm.
but that you or we end up holding on to a relationship or to a belief that you should stay or that you should work it out or however you want to break it down.
Mm-hmm.
That keeps you immobile. And then we call it a block because we don't feel like we're moving.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So you've just described the whole purpose of what I'm supposed to do in this session is to give her all these examples of all of the things that her partner does to her that build up these beliefs, build up this toxicity, build up this hopefulness that, you know, he's going to come back to being nice to me again. But, and therefore, I don't know what the real problem is. I don't really know what I'm addressing. So it took us an hour to go through that entire process. And what the guides did was they pointed out the forms of verbal abuse that he was using. So they would say something like, this is diversion.
Okay, which is exactly what I was going to dive into. Because when you mm-hmm. say, well, I don't really know what I'm supposed to be addressing, if the behaviors are constantly switching and you don't know what a healthy behavior looks like and how to label an unhealthy behavior, you're going to blanket it and call it confusion.
Mm-hmm.
And it's only partly true because you know that there's a lack of health happening, but because you haven't found the label, you don't know what you're addressing. However, what I'm going to say or challenge people with is you feel deeply on some level the disrespect. And if all you can do is know and feel an inkling of disrespect, you might not be able to say how it happened or why you feel it, but that you feel it, you're on to something. You're on to figuring it out. Keep going.
Well, she isn't in this regard because as soon as she feels the disrespect, that's when he loops her and catches her instantly and draws her attention to what she should be grateful for.
Then I'll say off balance.
Yes.
When you feel like you have been thrown off balance, and this is why everyone needs to read Emotional Blackmail by Dr. Susan Forward to understand fog, right? Which is a metaphorical and acronym as well for the fog that abuse creates for you. So mm-hmm. that feeling of, well, what just happened here? I thought we were having a good moment. Oh, okay, wait, he's back and he's saying something nice. Weird. I don't remember what just happened in the middle there, but I'll keep rolling with it. That's the toxicity. That's the abuse that people need to be aware of the pattern.
Mm-hmm. And the guides talked to her and said, okay, he does all of this very consciously. And she went, what?
Mm-hmm.
And she just stopped and went, what? What do you mean consciously? And I said, oh, he's aware that he's getting you to focus and bringing your attention to what you should be grateful for. So the very most commonplace thing that he's done, maybe he took out the garbage, maybe, I don't know, just opened the car door, just everyday things that are just ways to be decent to another person, he now draws attention to instead of the abuse that he's given her.
And time the fuck out.
Yeah.
I'm a big advocate for gratitude and I keep it in all of my coaching programs for a damn good reason. And it's always focused on things that bring you joy in your life. So right now, for example, what would make my list is Winston punching Parker in the face because it's really cute and it's happening right now and we're snuggling with the dogs. I would never encourage someone to use a gratitude journal to write down the basic mundane things that a decent human being should naturally provide for you in a relationship for safety.
Okay.
That is fucking ridiculous, especially when it's done with the intention to mask and divert from the fact that you've just been abused.
Yes.
So yeah, they didn't really talk nice to me at the dinner table today, but they did take out the trash this morning and I didn't have to ask. Or I only had to ask once. Mm-hmm. That is not gratitude.
Mm-hmm. Or I had to ask five times. And one of the examples was about mowing the lawn and how he would purposely let it get really out of control, purposely because he knew it bugged her. He knew that it bothered her that all the other houses in the neighborhood looked nice and hers didn't. And then he would mow the lawn once she brought it up and was irritated and stressed about it several times. And then he'd mow the lawn and then she'd write that in her journal that he finally mowed the lawn. And so the guide said to her, yes, that when she goes back into her gratitude journal, that she should take a highlighter where she actually was grateful for commonplace things that he made a pattern out of withholding.
Okay, so everything that would be written would have, he finally.
Yeah. Right. And she wanted to know, well, how am I supposed to be able to identify those for the last 20 or 30 years in all my gratitude journals? And I said, because they're patterns of withholding. Mm-hmm. They're patterns of diversion. They are patterns that go, that move directly with the forms of verbal abuse. And she goes, well, I don't even know what verbal abuse. I mean, I know when it's yelling. She says, but like, you know, some, yeah, we yell at each other, but everybody yells at each other, every couple.
A nay-nay.
Yes. It, like, and this is where so much of the dysfunction and the toxicity has been normalized. Mm-hmm. Under, you must be grateful for that you're still married, that you have a family that's together, that your kids have two parents in the house, that you have somebody to mow the lawn for you and shovel the driveway because you're busy doing all of the other stuff. You can't really handle two more things on your plate. So be grateful for the two things that he does do because you're doing everything else.
Oh my God.
Yeah, this, it was really...
If you're confused right now listening to this, please call me for a life coaching session. I would love to be able to break this down with people to say why it's so much easier to actually be single and have the mental ticker tape just yours alone instead of thinking about the mental ticker tape of everything that needs to be done, what you have delegated and asked for in another person, what they have and haven't done. And when they say to you, just make me a list because they can't handle the fucking ticker tape as well. Like, let's break that down together.
Yeah, and they can't handle the ticker tape after 10 years, 20 years, 30 years.
It's just...
It does. The ticker tape doesn't necessarily change. It's still housework. It's still yard work.
Exactly.
It's still the same care of the kids every single day. It's still the care of each other. It's still the care of parents or the volunteering that you do or whatever. The ticker tape typically runs pretty much similarly year to year. Mm-hmm. And yet they pretend like they whatever's on it each day is like brand new. Mm-hmm. It's like, what? You mean I have to mow a lawn and pick up kids? Really? If you weren't here to tell me, I never would have known. Mm-hmm. And it's like, no, they know. They're doing it so that it will exhaust you. Mm-hmm. They're doing it so that eventually you will give up and do it yourself. Mm-hmm. They are doing it so that they get attention in a really unhealthy way, meaning that even if you have to speak to them at all about something, they'll take that as, well, at least you see me. Well, at least you're talking to me. Or, I really like the drama and the fighting. My parents did this. I'm addicted to this. I think this is normal behavior and that other couples do it. Therefore, we're normal. So we need to do it. And any healthy couples out there we can't be friends with, we have to kick those people out of our lives because I want to keep running this show with you. And I want you to be grateful for the tiny little breadcrumbs, mm-hmm. right? So the gratitude journal is really full of breadcrumbs. So let's call it what it is, the breadcrumb journal. And at that point, Chloe just looks at me and she goes, what the fuck?
Great question.
And I said, right, Chloe? And she goes, Jesus, Karen, I literally have shelves of breadcrumbs. Mm-hmm. She goes, and I said, ooh. I said, how'd that make you feel? And she goes, what? I said, is that the first time you have felt that feeling?
Imagine, this is a great visual. Walking into your pantry and every jar and drawer and can is just breadcrumbs, and you're like, go find a meal.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how disgusted you would be having to cook every day if the ingredients you had to work with were breadcrumbs.
Mm-hmm. And every day, if what you sat down to eat for breakfast, lunch, and dinner were just breadcrumbs.
Now think and sink into your stomach and tell me that you're ever, ever going to feel full.
Or happy with what you're eating. And the portions you're being offered. And of course you shouldn't look at all those healthy couples that are eating full meals.
But I'm so grateful that my pantry
yes.
is kind of full of breadcrumbs.
Yes, go get a journal and write about your breadcrumbs. Right? You put those breadcrumbs in those journals and don't you dare feel anything on that emotional wheel that looks like anger mm-hmm. or looks like sadness. Or looks like fear.
In fact, here's six masks for happiness I'd like you to wear.
Exactly. And let me run out and buy you another gratitude journal and some sticker tape and some nice little stamps and colorful markers. Oh, look at you go in those little journals, you.
You're really doing the work.
Aren't you?
This is a good show.
And now you are such a better person than me, sweetheart, because you're so full of gratitude. I'm sure you're going to get into your heaven. Mm-hmm. I'm sure you can just put your like pretty little dress on and walk right into your heaven when you die.
Or just continue walking the earth as a spiritually evolved person.
Yes.
Because you're grateful.
Yes.
Wowzers.
Look how grateful you are. You are just the queen of grateful.
The dogs are so uninterested in this show.
Yeah. And healthy people won't be interested in this show either.
Well, I don't think that's true.
Really?
I think for someone like myself who has accepted a pantry of breadcrumbs in the past.
Oh, right.
And is working really hard to be in an earned, secure attachment style, who is working really hard to only keep relationships that know how to provide full meals.
Right.
This is an invigorating show because it's validating in that you're doing the right thing by making the choices that you've made to cut out the people that only breadcrumb. And I'll say that the people that only know how to breadcrumb and the people that are only willing to breadcrumb, mm-hmm. because there is a difference between people who are willing and those who are capable. And just because they're capable doesn't mean they're giving you more.
Mm-hmm.
Just because they're capable doesn't mean they're willing.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Because then you sit there and go, well, I know they're capable. I see them doing it for their mom. I see them doing it for their dad. Or I see them doing it when they volunteer for the kids' games. Mm-hmm. I see that they're capable. So I'll just stay here and hope that eventually they'll turn all of that attention and focus and give me more than breadcrumbs and give me a full sandwich.
Mm-hmm.
I'm hoping eventually I'll get to eat a whole meal.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm watching other people eat whole meals every day, all day, every day. And I'm just going to be hopeful and grateful that I'll get mine one day.
Okay. So hypothetically, we're in the kitchen, we're making BLTs. Okay.
And you're right.
And you turn to me and you're like, here, Kelly, here's your toast with butter and mayonnaise, salt and pepper, tomato and lettuce. And I'm like, oh my gosh, thank you so much. And I'm just thinking to myself like, there's no bacon on here. It's a BLT.
Right.
And I just say, thank you so much. And I walk over to the dining room table.
Because you're supposed to be grateful.
I'm really grateful. And then we make BLTs the next night. You hand me the same thing because you're like, well, she took it last time.
Exactly.
And I'm like, oh, thank you so much. And then day after day, I just keep saying, thank you so much. And I wonder to myself, at what point is she going to get it that I want bacon?
But
I'm not going to ask for it. And I'm going to keep writing down, thank you so much. And I'm so grateful for my lettuce and tomato sandwich. And you're walking around thinking, she doesn't need bacon. I can give the bacon out to anyone I want. Anyone who comes through my door. I can give it to myself if I want. I can feed it to the dogs if I want. I can throw it out if I want.
And I can even tell other people she doesn't like bacon.
Exactly. She doesn't need it. She doesn't want it. She doesn't care for it.
She never brings it up. She doesn't ask for it. Why would I give it to her?
People pleasers.
And then, maybe somebody else likes bacon and I'll give it to them.
Yeah. And the thing is that like a coworker comes along or a friend comes along or a single person comes along and is like, hey, I love bacon. And you're like, me too.
Yeah. And I like it that you like it.
And you know what? My wife doesn't need it, but I love that you asked for bacon. And it's like, what the fuck?
And I like the fact that you're gutsy enough to ask for it because you know what you want. Because I've got this woman at home that, you know, I don't really know if she likes it or not. And I don't ask anymore, you know. And there's just a lot of gratitude journals in her pantry about how much she likes the lettuce, tomato, and other things on that sandwich, really.
Good metaphor. Let's move on.
Yeah, that's great. So getting back to her session, there was conversation around the ways and the forms of verbal abuse. So literally what the guides did was they would say where he would do something to her like that would undermine her, but then do something else and have her be grateful for the other thing while he was undermining her. And they would...
Which is just called undermining people.
Exactly. And she would go, okay, continue. This happens on a regular basis. And then she goes, okay, Karen, she goes, this is terrible because I'm training my kids to be grateful for the very same things. Mm-hmm. And I said, yes. And I said, and I see where you've encouraged your very young children to draw what they're grateful for. And I said, and I've also been told by the spirit guides that when you guys get in the car and go for road trips, one of your games in the car is to list what you're grateful for each day. And she goes, well, is that a bad thing?
No, but your answers can absolutely suck. And you and I just did this the other night, actually. We were on the way to the Barbie movie, and you said, Kelly, name me three things that you absolutely loved about your day today. And then I was thinking about it, and you went, for you. You just changed it slightly, and you went, just for you. Meaning that I can't list that my client had a success and that she was really happy today. Because that would be for the client. I can be grateful for that. But your question was, what are you grateful for you today? Mm-hmm. So it had to be something that filled me up in That's particular, right. Not by proxy filling another person up.
Yeah, I'm happy that they're happy.
Exactly. So it is this. It's not a bad game. It's a wonderful thing to play. Mm-hmm. And both of those That's scenarios right. are beautiful. But if all you're ever doing is playing the gratitude game by saying, I'm grateful that another person feels full. Where are you? Mm-hmm. Where is your life? Exactly. What is your existence?
Yes. And so we were pointing out where she was disappearing. And then another example was where things were really shitty, where it was just a terrible experience. It was, I'm just going to say, there was nothing to be grateful for at all, where he did something that was very hurtful. And he would say to her, well, what lesson can you take away from that?
That's spiritual abuse.
Yeah. And then she'd try and find the lesson. Well, and she'd try and look for some kind of a lesson. And he'd go, well, there you go. That's what you can be grateful for then. And she would just, she'd look at me and go, what's wrong with that?
This is the problem with the whole, well, a few things. The problem with what people have deemed the law of attraction. Because it's not that. And also, everything happens for a reason. This yes. stupid fucking cliche that everything happens for a reason, so I must draw a lesson from it, or I must make meaning out of something I don't enjoy.
Yes, and then be grateful for it.
Instead of just calling it what the fuck it is.
Exactly.
If someone is standing in front of you, or however, and they are delivering verbal abuse, and your inclination is to say, well, what can I learn from this? Instead of saying, what is happening? Then you are being spiritually abused, conditioned to spiritually abuse yourself, and to systematically continue to erase yourself. So that you just feel like you're supposed to be one big lesson, and you're conditioning yourself into shame to believe that everything must be your fault if something is not going well for you. Mm-hmm. So now there's no personal responsibility for anyone else. Mm-hmm. Everything is your fault.
Exactly.
If you are listening and you are confused and or exhausted, you are likely inside of this.
Yeah. And then we had a little talk about his use of cliches, and she went, Yeah, but everybody uses cliches.
No, they don't.
And I said, no, in fact, people do not all use cliches. Some people don't use them at all. They say what they mean and mean what they say.
Oh, that's a cliche. Good one. Thanks. Proud of you.
And I said, he uses cliches in order to bring you into a trap so that, and she went, oh, I think I get what you're saying. And you could start to finally see when we started talking about the cliches, well after we had been talking about all the forms of verbal abuse, when I started talking about using cliches, she was like, this is clicking now.
Good.
She goes, he actually constantly uses cliches with me. And she goes, I'm starting to see where he's using the cliches to actually turn off my emotions or to block me from feeling what I actually feel.
Yeah.
And I said to her, hey, there's a thing called the emotional wheel that you have access to all over the internet. all kinds of emotional wheels, charts, in any form that turns your fancy, colored, black and white, anything you want. And I said, it might really serve you to take out the emotional wheel and to take highlighter pencils or markers or whatever, and start recognizing the feelings that as soon as you, where you start to feel them, he blocks you from them by putting you into, using cliches so that eventually you fall down this road. Always where you end up is being grateful for something, and that you actually are being diverted away from what is truthful.
Mm-hmm.
And she goes, okay. She goes, I can do that. I've recorded this. I've heard the homework. I'm willing to do it.
Good.
And the guides came in and said, tell her that one of her steps forward is to know the forms of verbal abuse. But we think we've made that very clear since the beginning of the session, that without knowing the forms of verbal abuse, she's not really able to recognize what he's actually doing that is part of all of this pattern of I'm going to use the forms of verbal abuse, but I'm going to keep you diverted on your gratitude shit so that I can continue to get away with this.
Mm-hmm.
And in the process, we are going to block you from feeling your authentic feelings.
Mm-hmm.
And when I said that to her, she went, my what feelings? And I said, authentic. And I said, I would suggest to you reading any books on integrity so that you can understand what is happening and how when you, she goes, wait a minute, don't even finish that. I'm so confused. I thought that being grateful was supposed to bring me to my integrity. And you're telling me that being grateful all the time is actually taking me in the exact opposite direction, that I can't actually have integrity.
Mm-hmm.
Unless I try to be grateful for the breadcrumbs instead of the sandwich.
Which is just cognitive dissonance.
And that's the next conversation that we got into, was saying that it created cognitive dissonance.
Mm-hmm.
And that when you're in cognitive dissonance, you have no access to your own integrity.
Mm.
And therefore, you can't actually be grateful for the anger that you should be feeling. Mm-hmm. And I said, so did you ever write that you were grateful for your anger in any of those journals? And she goes, I can tell you right now without even looking at any of them, a big no.
Mm-hmm.
And she goes, I'm starting to see what you're saying, that my gratitude journals are only about the happy feelings. There's nothing in there.
It's avoidance.
Yes.
And it's trained. So again, like, not faulting Chloe. She has been offered diversion.
Mm-hmm.
She has been instructed to diversion,
mm-hmm.
which means she has avoided, because that's what diversion does. It avoids the actual issue,
mm-hmm.
the actual feeling.
Yes. And that's where we ended the session.
Amazing.
The very end of the session, she learned about cognitive dissonance. She started understanding, holy shit, Karen, you're talking about like literally being in two realities, and that I'm never allowed access to half of that damn emotional wheel you're talking about, because I have to stay in gratitude. I'm supposed to stay in the nice feelings.
You're actually not, you don't actually have access to any of it, because you're not truthfully feeling gratitude. You're not truthfully feeling anything happy. You're in sadness, you're in anger, but you're in denial,
mm-hmm.
of all of what you're actually feeling.
Yep, that's right.
So don't kid yourself and think you only have access to half. You've got far less than that. We're talking about breadcrumbs. There's a big difference between half a pie and breadcrumbs.
Yes. And she said to me, just as we were ending the session, she goes, well, she goes, I'm going into that room, my meditation room. She says, I'm so freaking angry. She says, I'm going to take all those books and burn them. And I said to her, well, you could use them actually to open them and look at the patterns that got created.
Yep.
And she went, what? I said, I wouldn't burn them yet.
Self-study. It's right there.
Yep. I said, I would actually go in and look at those books and see the patterns of how your husband trained you. And I'll bet you $10 you'll be able to see at that period of time in your life exactly what he was training you to do. Well, at that time, what was he doing?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I bet you there's dates on there.
Mm. Yeah.
And I mean, it's like, it's literally a key to hand to a therapist and be like, here's what I did for 3 months. Then everything switched at 6 months. And then, right? Like, oh.
So she was encouraged not to burn the gratitude
books. Go break shit. Keep the books.
Yeah. She was encouraged to use the gratitude journals to actually uncover all of the hidden things that were actually happening in the marriage that she was avoiding through her gratitude practice.
Mm-hmm. I'm very genuinely grateful for you for waking up another woman.
Yeah.
Right?
You're
this,
welcome.
This is, and we just watched it last night. We are deprogramming each other.
Mm-hmm. I'm hoping that we are deprogramming one person at a time. So if you stay to listen to this show to the very end, thank you for doing it. It's going to take some work to deprogram ourselves. Many of us were taught, me included, about the gratitude journal, by the way. I remembered listening to this and thinking, man, I can totally relate to the training this woman went through. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't necessarily that a partner bought me my gratitude journals, but I sure as shit remember watching a ton of Oprah shows about gratitude. And not just Oprah, but all kinds of people that jumped on that same bandwagon, that you should be grateful and find the lesson in everything. And those cliches, and then all of the things that it did to really teach us to avoid our reality. So thank you very much, Kelly. And I do want to point out for everybody listening, just in case it's your first time listening to this, that you are a life coach and that you actually help people practice and create gratitude practices that are healthy. Mm-hmm. For those people that are like, okay, well, I don't want to throw all my journals out and I don't want to become ungrateful. No, no, that's not what we're telling you. We're telling you about healthy gratitude versus the cognitive dissonant kind of gratitude. Mm-hmm. And that people can get help from you if they're stuck in this.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'll just say as a quick tip, right? Like some buzzwords to listen for as you're brainstorming what you're writing on your gratitude journal. If you're saying they finally... you're at a fed up point. This isn't real gratitude. This is desperation. Or if you're saying, at least they, this isn't gratitude. You are grasping for those crumbs again.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you.
All right. Thanks for bringing the topic. Thanks for listening to Coffee with the Sarlows. If you enjoyed the show today, help spread the love with a like, share, or review of the podcast. See you next Saturday with a brand new episode.